Audacity.
Why it's thought that Dominica's latest diplomatic relations foray could have drastic consequences. I am Ken Richards with today's edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. Dominica's opposition United Workers Party has described Rosa's move to have diplomatic relations with Syria as a desperate move. The island is being criticized with reminders that Syria is a Middle Eastern country that faced global isolation after its government brutally suppressed pro-democracy protests in 2011. OSA's Roy Sanford reports on the latest diplomatic arrangement of the Roosevelt's Carrot-led Dominica Labour Party administration.
In a statement, the opposition United Workers Party, UWP, described the decision as abhorrent and an act of desperation, saying it should be immediately reversed since it will expose the island to contempt and ridicule by the world. We note with dismay that the government of Syria has a most egregious human rights record and bears responsibility for a civil war spanning 12 years, which has resulted in more than 500,000 deaths and displacement of 13 million Syrians, the statement said. The UWP pointed to the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian regime, which should have received unanimous condemnation at the United Nations, but was vetoed by Russia and China. Furthermore, the party noted that Syria has been one of a few countries that has shown support for Russia's military invasion of Ukraine. By supporting the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Syria gives no credence to Article 2 of the United Nations Charter, which states that all members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state, the UWP said in its statement. The party is of the view that the Dominican government's establishment of diplomatic relations with Syria is an act of desperation, driven by questionable connections to the regime of Bashar al-Assad and the operation of Dominica's Citizenship by Investment program in Syria. Meanwhile, economist Thompson Fontaine is questioning the rationale behind the decision. Speaking on The Hot Seat on local radio station Q95, he said relations between countries are normally established to create cultural, trade, and other ties. But that's not the case here. We are not going to export into Syria. Syrians are not going to be coming to Dominica, he said. He is of the opinion the agreement was made because Dominica has been selling more passports in Syria. The agreement for diplomatic relations was signed between the two countries on Monday, March 7th, at the headquarters of Syria's permanent delegations to the United Nations in New York. There has been no word from the government of Dominica on the matter.
Meanwhile, financial crime consultant Kenneth Rijok warns that Dominica may have exposed itself to a terrorist state. Speaking to Q95 Tuesday, he explained the level of risk Dominica has taken on as it relates to the country's reputation and CBI passport affiliations.
And doing business with Syria is the same thing as doing business with North Korea. That's the level of risk which it has now put itself in front of. The media from the Middle East says that there are already CBI passports issued for Syrian government and business officials, as well as some of their celebrities, quote, that's confirmed by reports from Middle East media. The issue here is that Syria is dominated by Hezbollah, which is the Lebanese terrorist group, which is, of course, sanctioned by the United States. And as such, this puts Dominica right in the crosshairs of the global war on terrorism, which is not over and which continues to dominate American law enforcement and intelligence operations abroad. So what we've got here is Hezbollah with a Dominica passport. They can gain visa-free entry to the United Kingdom, and from there, it's just a hop across the border to Ireland, which is still part of the EU, and as such, they can be anywhere in Europe in a matter of hours. So our problem here is that Dominica, for better or for worse, has now exposed itself as a partner of a terrorist state.
On Saturday, March 12, on his Facebook page, Prime Minister Timothy Harris of St. Kitts and Nevis is quoted as saying, My administration will consolidate and build on the excellent relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis. We will work more effectively with the Nevis Island administration to deliver the stronger and safer future to all our people." End quote. That reassurance comes at a time when there are commentators in the country suggesting that there is no palpable division within a governing coalition that is currently in its second term in office. Team Unity is made up of three political parties: the People's Action Movement, PAM, led by Government Minister Sean Richards; the Concerned Citizens Movement, CCM, headed by Premier Mark Brantley, also a federal minister of the country; and Prime Minister Harris's People's Labour Party. Dr. Harris's PLP is the smallest of the three parties. It is well known in the Federation that the coalition had agreed that he would serve as head of government for two terms. However, at PAM's annual convention on Sunday, the talk on the streets suggesting that Dr. Harris is seriously eyeing a third term became clear that for Brantley and Richards, that is a major concern, along with other issues that are apparently fueling what one might get away with the term, quote, "the growing division," end quote, within the three-party coalition. Mark Brantley, Foreign Affairs Minister in Bastia and Premier in Charlestown, referred to the Charlestown Accord, one of the pillars that initially cemented the coalition prior to the 2015 St. Kitts Nevis general election. "There is undermining of the Team Unity government," was one of the messages at the PAM convention. Brantley, while outlining his concerns, called no names.
"I'm hearing in some quarters that there's nothing wrong with any unity leader being prime minister for more than two terms. Suddenly I'm hearing in some quarters that members of Team Unity are giving financial and other support to the political opponents of CCM in Nevis. Suddenly I'm hearing in some quarters that candidates are being recruited to run in constituencies against the principles of Team Unity, where only a single candidate is permitted to run. Suddenly, all of a sudden, I am hearing in some quarters of the Charleston Accord and other documents forming the very core basis of our tripartite Team Unity government are but useless pieces of paper, not enforceable in a court of law. But my friends, let me, Mark Anthony Graham Brantley, son of Vicky and Orvin, let me be pellucid this afternoon. If the core principles of Team Unity, reduced into writing and signed before God and man by the leaders of the political parties of Team Unity, are now for convenience to be cast aside as mere worthless pieces of paper, then it means that Team Unity was merely a launching pad for personal power and self-aggrandizing."
Despite his stated concerns, Mark Brantley described Team Unity as the last best chance for the nation. Meanwhile, PAM leader Sean Richards at the mic warned that the concept of unity is under attack by what he called selfishness and greed. Richards said he would not be supporting deviant behavior.
"For the unity concept to survive, we must all stay true to the premise of the promise. Part of that premise, of the promise, is that each party will only field candidates in certain constituencies. And the People's Action Movement has kept its word on this promise. In 2015, we gave a promise to run in six constituencies in St. Kitts, for PLP to field candidates in the other two constituencies in St. Kitts, and for the CCM to field all of the candidates in Nevis. In 2020, the PAM gave further accommodation for a next candidate in St. Kitts to be run by PLP. However, there's an old saying that says, you give some people an inch and they want to take a mile. Tonight, I want those that want to go the mile, that Sean ain't going a mile with nobody. The inch given remains the inch, and not one inch extra.
Richards said PAM will not give any further concessions to any party in the coalition. While Mark Brantley in particular has faced ongoing criticism on social media by alleged Team Unity supporters, one individual who is apparently his supporter wrote on his Facebook page on Monday, quote, "Captain Premier Mark Brantley and Sean Richards, please tell us what to do. Shall we stay on it or should we abandon the ship Unity?" With the level of violent crimes and the number of homicides alarming in St. Lucia, criminals have been put on notice by the Philip J. Peel-led administration. The Cabinet of Ministers is said to be giving serious consideration to tougher gun laws, as HTS News Force reports.
Prime Minister Philip J. Pierre is vowing to enact stiffer gun legislation and firearm-related policies. The pledge of tougher gun control measures comes amid a raft of fatal shooting incidents.
Go through the system, but we're going to be going to Parliament very shortly to change the laws as they relate to illegal possession of guns and ammunition. We're going to stiffen them because these crimes with these weapons must stop.
Pierre makes it clear that the government is looking to move with haste to amend the Firearms Act No. 9 of 2003 to impose harsher penalties for firearm offenses.
So we're going to be stiffening the penalties, and they're going to be very draconian penalties when it comes to possession of guns and ammunition.
What about murder, when people getting bail for murder and things?
I know that's a big issue. We're going to be looking at that whole system as it relates to guns and ammunition, yes. But as far as the legislature is concerned, we're going to be going to the phone. I'm going to advise the cabinet so we can instruct the AG to stiffen, really stiffen the penalties for gun possession, gun-related crimes, and ammunition.
And from Russia now, with utmost bravery, here's Inside Edition.
A Russian television editor interrupted a live broadcast to protest the conflict in Ukraine. This is Channel One, a Russian state-run network, and the brave woman holding the sign is Marina Obsayankova. It reads, "No war, stop the war. Don't believe the propaganda. They're lying to you here." Obsayankova, whose father is Ukrainian and mother is Russian, released a video explaining her protest prior to going on air. She says, "Unfortunately, for the last several years, I worked at Channel One, promoting Kremlin propaganda, and for that, I am very ashamed right now. I am ashamed that I allowed lies to be told from TV screens, that I allowed Russian people to be zombified." In the over 1 minute video, she goes on to say, "We continued to watch this inhumane regime. Now the world has turned away from us." Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked Obsayankova in his daily address, saying, "I am thankful to those Russians who do not cease trying to get the truth out, who fight against disinformation and tell the truth, tell real facts to their friends, relatives, and personally to the woman who entered the studio of Channel One with a poster against the war." Reports say Obsayankova was arrested shortly after her protest. A newly created Russian law says spreading information about the Russian military that the government deems false could put someone in jail for up to 15 years if convicted. This story is moving rapidly, with currently unverified reports of conviction and sentencing.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, 16th March. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m.